You wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't steal a TV. You wouldn't steal a meme.
Emotional!
You wouldn't steal another Bitcoiner's wife. But listening to Bugle Weekly without boosting Rod and Richard Satz is stealing from journalists. And it's against the law. Support the value for value economy and real journalism by streaming Sats to the Bugle on Fountain FM. Available on Android and iOS.
Mr. Sailor, fly me to the moon on your Bitcoin rocket ship. We'll record in the podcast room, play some fiat games and even touch tips. 6102 is a conspiracy. Brian Armstrong says the funds are safe food. When I'm with you, I feel electricity. Mr. Sailor, take my hand. Let's be special friends and hope this party never ends. You're the man I have eyes for. Can I listen to you speak some more? You are pumping my bags as hard as my heart is pumping now. Bitcoin is going to the moon, and I'll let you be Big Spoon. My wife is a little jealous, but you've made me so damn zealous. I've never seen straight men act so gay when they rush to listen to you on stage. But I know I'm the one you adore. Let me take off my pants and let you explore.
Welcome to this edition of Bugle Weekly. I'm so fucking pumped. This is the bull market. This is the moment, everyone, where cigarettes, non-KYC cigarettes, become extremely inexpensive. And your boosts continue to appreciate every week, and our stash just keeps on getting more valuable in the terms of cigarettes. Just this week, for the first time, I think ever, cigarette dollar parity priced in Bitcoin happened. One cigarette is 1,000 sats, and the USDT Bitcoin price briefly hit 1,000 sats, a USDT. So that was a pretty big moment. But yeah, we're stoked over here. How you doing, Ron? How bullish are you right now?
I'm extremely bullish, and I think that we have been bullish on this show most of this year since we started. And I think that even for people with, you know, and we've been reporting that Bitcoin has already won, but even people with our low of time preference, the amount of Bitcoin podcast hours that we've listened to, I think we're caught off guard and resoundingly quickly and suddenly the news that Bitcoin already won had gotten out there to everybody else. And then we learned on November 5th that it had. And so now it's just, it's such an exciting time. So bullish. And that's why we need to announce that we're working really hard to transform starting in 2025 in January. The bull market Bugle will be here because we are doing everything we can to position ourselves to report about Bitcoin and Paul, you know, everything around us from a bull market perspective, because it's going to be so important. There's going to be so much going on. It's going to be chaos. And we're going to be able to give you the signal.
Yeah, I like the ring of bull market Bugle. I almost feel like there needs to be a musical album at a bull market Bugle, but it's going to be a big transition. I mean, we're going to see a bit bull market for Bitcoin podcasts. There's going to be so many Bitcoin podcasts to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be crazy. I mean, the music. We need more podcasts. We need the amount of demand for Bitcoin culture and the demand for Bitcoin content is about to explode. It's going to be, there's not even, you know, people say there's not enough room in the block size to handle all the people who want UTXOs. Well, there's not enough Bitcoin podcasts in existence to handle the demand for Bitcoin podcasts that's coming in the next year. That's going to be great.
100%. I mean, I think probably one of the best industries you could be working in is selling podcast equipment. And so, you know, whichever site is out there and has a, like, kind of like an Amazon or Newegg, the site that sells podcast gear in Bitcoin, they're going to be so wealthy this cycle. They're going to make so many sales. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I read that if the transaction rewards in mining don't go up in value pretty soon during this bull market, that Bitmain is going to actually convert to making podcast equipment rather than Bitcoin miners, because it'll be a more profitable. You know, they say, you know, when the picks and shovels are, you know, and during a gold rush, and that's where the picks and shovels will be in this bull market. It's going to be in the podcasting sector.
100%. I mean, we could see tons of companies that manufacture some sort of hardware, start manufacturing podcast equipment as well. We could see Cold Cart doing it. They could do some closed source podcasting gear. Foundation could do some open source podcasting gear. Ledger could do some government surveilled podcasting gear. Trezor could do some insecure podcasting gear. There's so many options out there.
Right. And then there's also the people like who use seed signers. There's going to be do-it-yourself podcasting gear. And the do-it-yourself open source podcasting gear, and that could be, you know, that's how you stay sovereign in because this industry is going to become very consumer driven. It's going to be who has the best podcast equipment or who has the best studio. But you have to focus on the signal, and it doesn't matter if you're using your laptop camera or the webcam mic. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you have good lighting. The best Bitcoin podcasts are the ones that emit the most signal.
100%. I mean, I think there's this real, you know, serious question, which is you kind of want to lock down your podcast stack, because if you're recording all these podcasts and the spooks are listening to them before you publish them, the spooks are essentially able to front run your listeners, which is not ideal. We don't want them to have the most signal throughout, you know, your recording process.
Right. This is going to be an incredible time for gaining, you know, kind of, if you think of the last cycle, hedge funds were going out and they were front running all of the trades because FTX was doing so much trade volume. Because the DeFi crypto Bitcoin craze was so huge at the time. But this time, we've gotten much more good, much more efficient at consolidating our UTXOs. So now we have the ETFs and we have MicroStrategy. So the amount of front running that you can do on transactions, literal transactions on chain, is much less. But where you can really front run is on the Bitcoin podcasting and the Bitcoin content. The volume of Bitcoin content is going to grow. And if the feds can front run that, they can front run the news, you know, and they can use it to their advantage to take opportunities and to just front run all your trades. And that's what the feds are going to be trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's like serious issues. Like, we all know that Dan Held kind of has a proclivity for being a little bit loose with posting other people's memes.
This is a perfect example. I'm glad you brought up Dan Held. This reminds me of the story. It was in headlines that Dan Held in 2022, he did a civil attack of Nostr relays, and he made all the people with all the best Bitcoin memes on Nostr. He had them civil attacks, so all their posts were not getting out to the general public. He was stealing their memes. And that's what the feds can do. They can pseudo spoof and they front run all of your communication.
Which is why, you know, having a secure podcasting setup is important, you know. And like, how do you build a microphone from source is kind of one of the questions that I have.
Well, I think, unfortunately,
you can't go on to GitHub and download a 3D printed file to make your own podcast microphone. It's not as simple as that yet.
That's a good point. So it really will be, unfortunately, only the most rich and most cypherpunk people who have the best, you know, they have STEM degrees and such, only they're going to be able to do kind of make their own, do it from scratch podcasting setup. But as they continue to innovate, it'll become easier and easier to do it, especially with value for value lightning exchange.
I mean, I don't think the people listening are as bullish as they should be. They should be so bullish that they're like bouncing on the seat of their pants, like, or the edge of their seat, you know, not sleeping. You should at least spend a few days a week not sleeping. If you're sleeping every night, then you're not bullish enough, because you're missing out. You should be looking at trading charts all day. You should be tweeting about how much Bitcoin you're buying. You should,
You should be getting a stack chain fork going, because I think one of the mistakes that people might have made last cycle was when Elon Musk, he tweeted about Bitcoin, and him and Michael Saylor are tweeting about Bitcoin. He bought Bitcoin with Tesla. It was like, we thought that moment that Bitcoin had already won, but we were wrong. But this time, we think the same thing about the election, but that's wrong as well. We're going to continue winning. And how do we know this? Is because, you know, Trump said he's going to press the orange button. He's going to pump Bitcoin to the moon. And he announced like all these crazy events. He said that starting on Memorial Day of 2025 through January or July 4th, 4th of July, 2026, which is the 250th birthday of the United States of America, he's going to have Bitcoin conferences all over the country. And it's going to coincide on 4th of July on our 250th birthday with the biggest Bitcoin conference that has ever been thrown. Yeah. And then David Bailey is going to be in charge of all of those Bitcoin conferences. And it's going to be a global affair. And this is going to be happening during the bull market and people noticing things. And this culmination of how many things they've noticed in the past 4 years. And it's going to be a celebration of defeating that view, because Bitcoin has already won. And that is why I don't think people are prepared. I think some people think we're going to go to like 150, but I think by the time this is over, USDT, it could be $1 million USDT.
That's such a bearish prediction. I stand by my $2 trillion per coin.
And I would have been a contrarian about that one a lot, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But now I think that is, you know, I could definitely see it now.
Yeah, I mean, you got all the Bitcoin influencers out there, you know, not being very humble right now, and I don't think it's time to be humble. Like one of the biggest differences about a bull market versus a bear market is that when you go and you visit your family over the holidays, they all want to ask you questions about Bitcoin. But in a bear market, when you go and visit your family over the holidays, they just want to tell you that you're retarded. You know what I mean? They've got some sort of scheme that they're all excited about. They're not listening to Bitcoin podcasts, but like in a bull market, the family member that you tried to orange pill the hardest and they just didn't get it for years and years and years, like they finally get it. You know what I mean? And they're going to be asking you questions about, you know, different security strategies, and your family dinners over the holidays are essentially going to be Bitcoin podcasts. So you might as well, like, you know, as you're orange pilling your family, you could actually record the process of you doing it so that you can share that with the rest of the world. So you don't have to keep on duplicating your efforts of,
yes, orange pilling. Exactly. People. Exactly. So we're winning. And we're winning so hard. A great example of this is if you watched the UFC last night, Donald Trump and Dana White, they came into the arena. It's Kid Rock, Elon Musk, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who's like, you know, 5'6", Vivek, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, basically the coolest, the people who've been the most right the past like 10 years about everything. and they're walking in, everybody's cheered. It's like the Colosseum of Rome, and everybody's watching that, and like, that we're going to continue winning. Like, by next year, by the Bitcoin golfer, it's like Toronto, I think, is approval rating will be 69%. It'll be like, that'll be like the signal that we're winning. That everybody finally notices it. Why? We're a part of this. And now your friends and family, they notice, and they know the Bitcoin price. It's hard. It's impossible not to know how high it is, and for them to know how right you were and how much you're winning. So it is your opportunity for the next year to tell everybody in your life everything that you learned listening to Bitcoin podcasts for the past 3 years. So, you know, enjoy it. Tell them about every Peter McCormick pop, every rabbit hole recap, everything you learned on Rock, Paper, Bitcoin, the Pugle. This is your chance to tell them all about it.
Yeah, it is this, you know, watching the UFC fights with all those celebrities there, and, you know, with the president-elect there, it really felt like a moment where, for the first time in recent history, the emperor had clothes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's for years, for the longest time, you weren't allowed to talk about Donald Trump or what RFK thought about vaccinations or what Tulsi Gabbard thought or what Joe Rogan thought. You weren't allowed to talk about that at Thanksgiving dinner. You weren't allowed to talk about that at work. But like last night when they all came out at the UFC, it was like, now they're, everybody wants to know their opinion because they were right. And that's you. That's what you are now. So it's like, if you're kind of like RFK Jr., nobody wanted to talk to you or ask your opinion for many Thanksgivings, but for this Thanksgiving, now they do.
Yeah. They're going to ask you which KYC exchange to use, which hardware wallet stack to have.
How to run a node.
How to run a node, how to transact peer-to-peer. There's going to be these very nuanced and fundamental questions that they're going to be asking, and they're actually going to be interested. Yeah, they're actually going to be interested in hearing the answer, which is, you know, very different. Whereas these relatives in the past, they may have asked the question, but as soon as you started to answer, their eyes would glaze over. But this is really. This is really that point where everything's changed, and that this cycle is very different, as Marty Bent said on TFTC this week.
Right. Part of the free speech revolution means that your wife can't censor you anymore, that your mom and dad can't censor you anymore, that, you know, the city council that you go and you argue with every, you know, first Wednesday of the month, they can't censor you anymore. You know, your liberal aunt, she can't censor you anymore. It's a great time.
It's a very, very different time. I think we're going to all have to learn what it means to adjust to living in a hyper-Bitcoinized future. You know, people have been talking about what this moment looks like on Bitcoin podcasts, you know, since Bitcoin podcast started. And we're here. And now we're going to kind of see whose predictions were correct, who was a bear, who was a bull.
Yeah, when you start to see, you know, the next Secretary of the Treasury, which it might be Howard Lutnick, or you might see RFK Jr., who's going to be in charge of the Department of Health, the hub of the country, and what he's been tweeting about Bitcoin lately. And you see Elon Musk in the deck, in the Daily Department. Then you see these people who, and Larry Fink, people on Wall Street, when they talk about Bitcoin, it's like you can tell that they've been listening to 40 hours a week. And these people who listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week, if you listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week, you can imagine what you would do if you were in charge of the U.S. Treasury or you were in charge of America's health. Well, that's what they're going to be doing. And that's why we're bullish.
100%.
I think one of the...
I just can't wait till the whole world unanimously agrees that Lynn Alden is hot. You know, there's been all this focus, like, you know, the last couple decades of fiat, there's been all this focus on these celebrities like Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton, And we're just going to have a whole new set of BD standards in the world we're going in. Like, as Bitcoin wins, people are going to, their time preference is going to change dramatically. They're going to become smarter. Seed oils are going to be banned. It's going to be incredible.
I mean, yeah, like IFK Jr. has, you know, promised that on day one, he's going to replace, you know, the standard unhealthy milk cartons that kids get in schools, and he's going to replace their, you know, processed school lunches, and he's going to replace it with raw milk and carnivore diet. So you're going to be able to send your kid to a public school to drink raw milk and eat flank steaks. That's really, think about the education improvements just from being able to pay attention and not have to take Adderall for ADD anymore.
Yeah, I hope that they can do things like, you know, there's lots of schools that like to do like different sort of like charity, like food drives. And I hope that they're going to be things like beef steaks.
Oh yeah.
Instead of like pizza dinner or, you know, whatever stupid pancake breakfast.
Right. Like all the nonsense like that. Great would be to send your daughter to prom and know that like her prom experience wasn't going to be about getting wasted drunk and driving, which is fine for her boyfriend, but you don't want your daughter doing it. And instead she's going to be a beefsteak, and they're going to be talking about Bitcoin topics. And what's their, you know, now that you've graduated high school, what are your incentives for college? What are your incentives aligned like for your future? Which Bitcoin conference are you going to this summer?
Yeah. And one of the things that's really important is to know how to position yourself for this type of bull market. You know, I think some big things that we're going to see change a lot is that having a Bitcoin podcast is actually going to be something valuable to have on your resume. Whether it is to get into a specific school or to get into certain types of work. So, I mean, you could very well see, you know, becoming a software engineer at like Google or Apple, you'll jump to the front of the list if you had a Bitcoin podcast before yes. Bitcoin won.
This is a good point. Is part of this revolution, part of this bull market is, and part of this election, right, is getting rid of HR departments. So now it's if you have a proof of work, if you've learned how to code, through listening to Bitcoin podcasts, or you've got any other skill, you know how to use electricity and balance grids with your bid axes, like you're going to be able to jump to the front of the line for job interviews and for job positions because you now don't have to go through the fiat HR department.
Like this was Dennis's arc to being such a political powerhouse. You know, he started it all with a humble Bitcoin podcast. It was called Smart People Shit. It was about the different ways that smart people actually take shit, you know, and it was kind of like what Preston Pish does, where he studies billionaires. Dennis also studied billionaires, but it was specifically about their bowel movements. It was a very unique type of podcast that, you know, not a lot of people considered before, but I think they're important topics because, like, you know, the majority of people listening to podcasts, unfortunately, aren't on the level of the type of smart people that Dennis was studying. And they weren't rich like they are today or going to be very shortly. And so understanding the way that rich people took bowel movements was very helpful in preparing the pleb to becoming extraordinarily wealthy with generational wealth.
It's a testament to the different ways that a pleb or somebody finds Bitcoin and it finds their orange pilling path, right? Like it's Bitcoin fixes this, right? People usually notice, as we talk about, like Bitcoin bull markets are a celebration of noticing things. And there's going to be so much noticing in the next few years. And you notice that Bitcoin fixes things. And Dennis noticed that the richest, most successful people, their bowel movements were different than the rest of the countries. And it sent him down a journey of figuring out what their diet was. It was carnivore. It's raw milk. These people worked out. They walked 10,000 steps a day. They've got sun. And then they noticed that, those people had the same incentives as Bitcoiners. And so Dennis went from shit to the top orange pillar in human history in a matter of a few years.
And he very well likely might be the next president of the United States, or, and or, I don't know, you think he's going to run for Congress before, or you think he's just going to try and jump straight into the presidency?
I don't think that he has to prove anything to anybody at this point in terms of, can he run for Congress or can he be a governor? I think that he has earned, kind of like Trump did, he didn't have to start, you know, as a senator. He just went straight from what he did, right, his business is right into the presidency. I think Dennis has earned that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at Trump, it's really interesting because he went from having a reality TV show to the president of the United States. And that was entirely a different era. And we're going to see the same thing going forward in the future, where today, you know, podcasts are culturally relevant, whereas reality TV used to be.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, actually. He's, in a way, he's the first Bitcoin podcaster president, but he's not the last. That's for sure. He will not be the last Bitcoin podcaster in the Oval Office.
Do you think that Donald Trump will start a podcast this presidential term?
That is, Peter McCormick obviously stepped down right before this bull market really started in the fall. And there's been a lot of discussion of like, hey, who's going to replace what Bitcoin did? Who's going to replace Peter McCormick as the top Bitcoin podcast that is kind of like the landing boy for all the normies? And I think the answer will have that answer. It will be whoever is the first to interview Ross when Donald Trump lets him out of prison. And there's a lot of speculation on who it might be. And so but I think whoever wins that interview, that will be kind of like the smoke coming up from the Vatican. Like, we chosen our new lead Bitcoin podcaster. And I just personally believe it should be, at least in terms of who had the most impact on spreading Ross's message and who marketed it to the most people, got the most engagement, and got the most eyes on the story. And I think that's Haley Welch, the Hawk Tour Girl. She's been tweeting Free Ross and making videos about it, you know, since July. And I think that's when the world realized it's time to let him free.
Yeah. I think Peter's going to try and take a shot at it and try and, I don't know, it seems like there's an attempt to gatekeep Haley Welch out of the Bitcoin podcast scene, and it's very disappointing to me. I don't know what the deal is there, but
it's like they're maybe not ready for, a hot blonde to be the lead Bitcoin podcaster. It's, you know, it's traditionally been a male role, a man's role. But if you think about it, Peter McCormick was so good at his job because he was like a dumb blonde hot girl. It was just kind of, really interested in Bitcoin and would ask really smart Bitcoin podcasters and developers and, politicians about Bitcoin, and they would teach him. And that's kind of what I think Haley Welch will be, the perfect voice or that perfect, channel for that, for Gen Z.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. This is what new people getting into Bitcoin need, is they need a dumb person asking dumb questions for them. Because until you've been listening to 40 hours a week for a while, hate to break it to you, but you're just dumb.
Right.
You don't have enough context on the way the world works, on game theory, on macro, on, all these things that are very important to not be dumb.
It's when you listen to, like, what Bitcoin did, and he asks, Peter asks a stupid question, or he doesn't know how ordinals work, and you just be like screaming to yourself wherever you're listening to your podcast. You might be driving down the street and you'll be like answering the question because he's like, how can you be so stupid, Peter? And then you listen to the guests and they explain it and you learn. And so you eventually learn, like, Zoomers will eventually learn, like, if you can orange pill anybody, Welch, you can orange pill anybody. And it'll give them the confidence to go and tell their families and their friends during the next bull market, you'll be able to orange pill them.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting thought. So I almost wonder if you're going to be a better podcaster, an interviewer, if you don't listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week, because it almost feels like the best interviewers are the dumbest ones, because they ask the simplest questions that the majority of people want to know. So it's almost like an asset to you as an interviewer and as a podcaster if you're less informed. Or do you just have to pretend, like, is it that you're less informed, or is it that you know the right questions to ask, so you're
no,
more
I think,
informed
I think that's
and you
right.
just pretend?
I think that is the jury of being a good Bitcoin podcaster, and that is why Peter has left the game. Because Peter was so stupid, and he asked so many stupid questions that after a while, it took him several years, but he finally got it. He finally got to the point where he couldn't pretend anymore. You know, and then you noticed it, right? Like, he's become libertarian. He's not a lib anymore. He's super based now, and he, like, roots for Trump. And it was like he finally had his transformation. So he's leading the podcast game. But now Haley Welch can step up. And after a few years, she's fully orange-pilled, and she can go off and do the next thing.
MicroStrategy says it's acquired more than 27,000 Bitcoins since the end of October.
Bitcoin's up 44% a year on average since then. The S&P's up 12%. And since we levered it, we're up 825%.
Shares of MicroStrategy stock popped 18% by 12:30 Eastern, adding to its post-election gains.
And MicroStrategy are all rallying this morning along with the wider crypto market.
I can't believe it. It wasn't supposed to be like this. I huddled so long, through the darkness of the bear market, through all the FUD. We finally defeated Ethereum and all the other shitcoins. I sold all my stocks and closed my bank accounts. I became a true maximalist. I was looking forward to telling all my friends, coworkers, my family, Ivy League economists, everyone, to have fun staying poor. I earned it. Instead, I'm on the outside looking in, as MicroStrategy shareholders get all the glory, wealth, and validation. All that sacrifice, the countless hours of listening to Bitcoin podcasts, it was all for nothing. My life is a waste. It's over.
If you're one of the Bitcoin-only maximalists feeling hopeless and depressed about Bitcoin underperforming MicroStrategy, you're not alone. Countless Bitcoiners who've listened to thousands of hours of Bitcoin podcasts, who thought they were right, and everyone else was dumber than them, are feeling hopeless and depressed just like you. But the answer isn't to end it all. There is hope. If you're feeling suicidal, you can call the Rage Quit Hotline. The Rage Quit Hotline is available 24/7 if you need to talk to someone. Our volunteers will listen to Bitcoin podcasts with you and help you build back your self-confidence and get your time preference back down to healthy levels so you can take back control of your life. Don't let MicroStrategy FOMO, jealousy, or time preference imbalances prevent you from enjoying the bull market and living life to the fullest. If you or someone you know is experiencing thoughts of rage quitting, call the Rage Quit Hotline anytime. The number is 1-800-420-6969. Don't rage quit right before the super cycle. You got this.
That's what you have to do. You have to start a Bitcoin podcast as soon as you learn about it. And just ask people questions. And then once you're finally orange-pilled, you don't have to do the podcast thing anymore.
Well, it's one of the best ways to learn. Because, like, I think, like, you know, there's all these Bitcoiners out there that realize their time is valuable, so they want to charge you to answer your questions.
Right.
But you can get around this. Like, have you noticed how many people that have asked Bitcoin Mechanic on their podcast over the last year?
Right. How many do you think it is?
I don't know, but he's probably been on at least 50 podcasts, you know, like he's thoroughly walked the PodConf circuit.
Right.
He's one of those individuals that charges people for his time to teach them about Bitcoin. And they found a loophole in his billing structure to be able to essentially get free hours of his time.
No, yeah, it's subsidy. Yeah, it's. I think if the way I'm looking at it, if I was in the shoe of some Bitcoin noobs who are going through their first Bitcoin bull market, they're going to be really excited to talk to their friends and family about it. And I think instead of recommending for them to listen to Bitcoin podcasts that you like, recommend that they start their own Bitcoin podcast. So instead of listening to the podcast you like, they can ask the questions that they have to NDK and to Stephen Lubka and to Stefan Lavera and to Cedric Engelman and to Sly Goomba and to Fundamentals. And you can talk to the smartest people in the world and ask your questions to your favorite Bitcoin influencers directly. It will really speed up the orange pilling process, I think. Because then you start to wonder what other people's questions are about Bitcoin. That's when you start listening to Bitcoin podcasts on your own. You don't even have to be given an assignment.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges is like a lot of people, they want to attract the tier A podcasters or podcast guests. And if you're just a guy that, or gal that just started up your podcast and you only got a few listeners, it's going to be hard to get a Sailor or Lynn Alden on the show.
And if you're not sure if you trust that person about their opinion on Bitcoin, you can be the one that asks them if they think Lynn Alden is hot. And you can find out if they think Lynn Alden is hot. And if they don't, well, then now you know. Now you don't have to listen to them anymore.
True, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I really wonder this cycle, if we're going to see things like, I very well could see Lynn Alden becoming kind of like a model of sorts for young women. We could see Disney. I think we should see Disney make Lynn Alden a Disney princess. I think that should be like one of the first.
Yeah, I think that would do. I think that would make everybody happy about people saying we need representation. I think she'd be the perfect model for the next representation for women. The
yeah,
next
like Bond, Disney, like
Lynn Alden Barbie.
Disney's really been upsetting their fan base for a long time. Like people have been upset with their fiat antics. And one of the quickest ways to show that that's behind them, that Bob Iger and Kathleen Kennedy aren't going to be so horrible anymore, as having Lynn Alden as a Disney princess. I mean, I think they should completely revamp their lines of their princess line. I mean, you could have, I mean, look at Jessica Hodler's story arc on Twitter of her finding her husband and how beautiful that was. You know, she started tweeting about wanting a husband, and then she found a husband. And it's one of those fairy tales that should be documented in the Disney cinematic universe. Jessica Vaughn, Lynn Alden, trying to think, Natalie Brunell would be a great one. I mean, can you imagine the orange wedding in a Disney movie? How beautiful that would be.
It's almost like they could replace the Disney Imagined Castle in Magic Kingdom with the wedding, you know, hall where the orange wedding took place. And like little girls will want to go see that and dance where Natalie Brunell and Sam Callahan danced on their wedding night in front of Brady Swenson and Michael Saylor, Stefan Lavera and Neil Jacobs and people like that. I mean, it's like recreating one of the most magical moments, you know. But it's not even a fairy tale. It's real. It's real life.
Well, I think one of the reasons why Bitcoin Magazine decided to have their next conference in Vegas was because they wanted to give people the ability to have a bunch of orange weddings out there.
That's a good point. You know, how many orange weddings do you think we'll see? This is going to be bull market mania by the time we get to the Bitcoin conference next summer. And I mean, you better book your orange wedding soon if you want to get that. If you want to get your, you know, your message on the sphere, you better book now.
I think this conference is going to be the biggest conference. This might be one of the biggest events to hit Vegas ever. You know what I mean?
Oh, who do you, which,
like,
which
I think big, there's probably
Which Bitcoin podcast or company do you think is going to be the one that gets advertisement on the Vegasphere? Like, that'll be the symbol of, like, the main influence or the main winning side by the Bitcoin conference. Who do you think it'll be? Some years it's Cash App, Coinbase. Like, who do you think it'll be this time? Swan?
I think it'll probably be Zappo. They were the title sponsor. They made sure to have their name all over the Trump thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they forked out the money. They wanted the president selected to have their brand behind them and for that to be seen in the world. So I bet this could be like a company like Zappo. It'll probably be a company that Mark Goodwin and Whitney have done a lot of reporting on, is my prediction.
I was thinking it might be Truth Social, but I don't know. We'll see how it leaks. Trump gets excited about the same memes that all of us get excited about. And that's part of why, it's part of why people like him. But like, Donald Trump is the type of guy who wouldn't give a, he would retweet a little than his hot meme. So he's, when the bull market that he starts really gets going, he's going to be on the timeline seeing all the Bitcoin memes. And he's going to think they're funny too. And he's going to get super into this. He's going to start, freaking smash buying every week. He's going to like do like Bekele. He's going to post screenshots about it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's really important for people to understand is, you know, the government and, you know, all the institutions essentially accepting Bitcoin. Like, one of the things that's going to be really on the table, probably discussed next year, is government subsidies in general. And I think we should be pushing for things like subsidies of podcast sponsorships, because we want more podcasts, so that probably means more sponsorships. Or at least that's what, actually, I don't know if we want to advocate for that, because we believe in the value for value economy. That's probably more like a PodComp thing, but there's a lot of ways to, like, I'm going to be pushing for subsidies of government cigarettes. Like, if the government's going to be based for the first time ever, might as well subsidize non-KYC cigarettes.
Right. Well, yeah. And this is going to be one of those times where people are going to be really patriotic and they're going to be really proud about being able to afford taxes. And there's going to be so many opportunities. The Bitcoin conferences, Bitcoin podcasts, Bitcoin companies, they're going to give you so many opportunities to basically to prove how proud you are, how patriotic you are, and how much you can afford to pay taxes. And people are going to fall for it. People are going to do it. And you have to be aware that that's what they're really going to try to exploit your patriotism. When I mean, during a limelight, everybody wants to tell whoever will listen that they own a lot of Bitcoin, that they were early. And then people are going to say, oh yeah, prove it. Prove to me that you can afford taxes, as I don't believe you. And people will fall for it. They'll say it.
I'm sure people are going to be bragging at the conference about how many taxes they pay.
Right. They're going to walk into the bank and they're going to be like, I can finally afford to buy a house. And the banker's going to look at them in their Bitcoin conference t-shirt and their scraggly shoes and their messy hair and their cargo shorts. And they're going to say, I don't believe you. I don't think you can afford to buy a house. You don't look like you've been right about anything the past 4 years, buddy. And they're going to pull out their fucking paperwork and all their addresses and their XPub. And they're going to be like, read them and weep. I own tons of Bitcoin on chain, self custody, 100% my keys, my coin. I can afford my taxes. And they're going to be like, holy shit, here's your love. It's going to be an awesome moment.
So there's these shirts, you've probably seen people wearing them around. So they got people, so it says like Democrat, words crossed out, Republican, words crossed out, Libertarian, words crossed out. And at the bottom it says Bitcoiner. I think we should have those shirts, but we should replace Bitcoiner with taxpayer.
Yeah, just make sure the letter is in there somewhere. The Bitcoin logo kind of behind it's taxpayer. Kind of take the old Bitcoin logo,
It's kind of that idea of like a single issue voter, like people that have vote on whatever they believe is the best strategy for them to be able to afford to pay taxes.
And they're going to want, I mean, people who can suddenly afford to pay big time property taxes, for example, they're going to want to tell their friends and family like how they can also afford to pay their taxes. And it's really just going to be like a sensation. It's going to be like TikTok videos of people like showing you how much they can afford to pay taxes. Everybody's going to get in on it. Like there's going to be huge influence podcasts about it.
Well, you know, like Jake Paul, you know, that's one of the things he's bragging about, his payday after this fight and how many taxes he's paying.
Mike Elford he loves to tell people, you know, how big his tax bill is and how he can afford it.
Sure. Well, I want to get to the Fountain Boost real quick, but before I do, I just wanted to say that there's a Dennis Porter podcast that he was on. I think Nico from Simply Bitcoin was interviewing him, and that's currently in the top 10 on Fountain. It's a number 6. The episode title is Breaking. This U.S. state is making Bitcoin part of its strategic treasury, Dennis Porter. And the podcast is titled Bitcoiners Live from Bitcoin Beach. So
that is looks like, that is like, I wish I was it.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the point. If you don't think this is a bull market, if you're a gay bear like Matt O'Dell, and you don't think this is a bull market yet, there's already podcast titles with starting out with the word breaking. If that's not signal that we're in a bull market, I don't know what is.
Yeah, then that'll probably be how you can measure the momentum of the bull market, is how many breaking tweets and how many, you know, this person bought Bitcoin, how many added it to their treasury. It's going to be huge.
So, you know, some Christians, not all Christians, you know, because you can't, anytime you say Christians get offended, like every Christian get offended, even the ones you're referencing, but some Christians have created gay conversion.
It's like if somebody says Bitcoiner, right? Like when the media says Bitcoiner.
Because there's different types of Bitcoiners. Like you can't lump us all in the same spot. Like there's non-compliant journalists like that, us. There's people like British Hoddle. There's people like Mike Alfred. We all fall under the term Bitcoiner, but we're all very different. Where was I going with that? I completely forgot. So there's these gay conversion therapy camps that the Christians created. I almost feel like those have been very unsuccessful, and I'm not really sure why. I think part of the reason why they've been unsuccessful is that they have used a lot of negative reinforcement, and like that, you know, they'll do things like try and get you to associate gay porn with getting shocked with electricity. And I feel like, you know, if we might get to the point where we need to make gay bear conversion camps, where we need to send O'Dell to turn them into Bitcoin bulls. You know, all these people that are trying to stay humble. I don't see any reason to stay humble, because this time is obviously different. Marty said so. We need positive reinforcement. So you know, you could send O'Dell. He can sit on like a comfortable beanbag. He doesn't have to be like strapped to a chair, electrocuted. And you could just send, you know, show him like Lynn Alden, like podcast videos of her being bullish. You can have him listen to Dennis Porter press releases on Twitter Spaces. You know, all these things that will convert him being a bull. And like, you know, one of the problems of why I think there's this issue with Noster, which is that all these people don't have access to Dennis's breaking tweets. So they might not realize that this time is different than last time, because they're so siloed over there. And I almost wonder if that's O'Dell's issue, is he hasn't been able to see the breaking tweet signal on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's like if you're too close to something, it's harder to see the outline. And I think it's just hard for him to see the forest for the trees, which is what Luke Roman is like, his macro fund is about. He's like, he's trying to tell the normies, and he's trying to tell other macro economists, like, you're too close to see that Bitcoin has already won. And Matt O'Dell is too close to see the bull market, because he's always so bullish, or, you know, at least compared to normies, but not compared to other Bitcoiners. He can't notice when it's shifting.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like he doesn't see Dennis's tweets. Like, I think it's as simple as that. It's like there's like a blockage with being on Noster. And like, you know, part of the problem is that Dennis isn't on Noster.
That's that's
I don't know what that's about. I don't know what that's about. If it, you know, Dennis has some reason why he's not putting breaking posts on Noster. But it's kind of lame. And I don't think Noster can be really, you know, a mainstream thing until Dennis is on there at least. I mean,
yeah, what would it take
to get Haley Welch and Dennis on Noster?
I think that's the question, right? Like, we need to start a campaign to get those, to get Dennis on Noster and Haley. Because I think that would be, that could be how Noster gets mainstream.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, there's these platforms that are essentially the public square. You know what I mean? So, like, people view Twitter as the public square. So, like, all the politicians are on there. They give the press releases. And this is one of the important things as to why we need to get Dennis on there, is because Dennis can go on there and assist in the process of, like, orange-peeling politicians to use it to make that the public square. I almost feel like it should be legally mandated that politicians have to be on Noster.
That would be a great bill. I mean, you need people have, you know, it's a right to be able to get breaking political announcements from their public servants. So it should be required for all government officials, politicians, agencies, state and federal. They should all be required to have a Noster account. And they should be able to run public relays.
Well, we know that the CIA and the FBI are on Noster trying to influence it. But yeah, it would be good to have them on there as in an official capacity. Like, I mean, you know, we want the ATF to be on Noster posting every year about, you know, the agents lost in Waco for us to be able to ratio them.
Yeah, exactly. You should be able to mock the FBI on Martin Luther King's birthday when they make a post warning it. You should be able to dunk on the Pentagon when they fail another audit. You should be able to have all those, you have to access that platform.
Yeah. 100%. Well, we're in a fucking bull market. I'm feeling so fucking bullish. Let's get into these boots. Let's see how bullish these boots are for the week. So this is from the last episode, the selection autopsy. I got a total of 63,000 boosts, 63,000 sats for the boost. Yeah, first one's from Miss Hot or Not. It says, if it's safe to say Lynn Alden is hot, it's safe for Rod to admit that I'm hot. Man, she's really persistent. She wants your affirmation, Rod.
Yeah, it just doesn't work, though, because Lynn Alden is a, you know, a household name. She's a person. Everybody knows who she is, so it's a good question, but nobody knows who Miss Hot or Not is, so it does, you know, there's no value in that comparison.
Yeah. I don't have to say, I guess I would interpret that Miss Hoddlenot as you need to boost more to get Rod's affirmation. I don't know what type of boost numbers you have to do to get his attention, but you're not performing like you should.
Not at all. The next one is, we all eat 10,021 subs. All these hoes be hair stinks. No dick for dykes, even though Lynn is hotter than any of them. Laugh my ass off. Thank you. We all eat. I don't know what you're talking out there. But it sounds hilarious. You sound bullish. I'll put it that way.
Sounds very bullish. Yeah, I'm kind of confused by the boost as well. All these hoes are be Harris skanks. Which hoes are you talking about? I don't know. I'm kind of baffled by that. I mean, I know Kaylee said she wouldn't sleep with anybody that voted for Harris. So it seems like a lot of the Bitcoin women are pretty anti-Harris, so he can't be talking about them. I imagine Miss Hoddlenot was probably pretty pro-Trump.
Maybe he meant to comment that under the Progressive Bitcoiner podcast. He was just on, like, you know, under the wrong podcast when he hosted it.
Well, I even think the people on the Progressive Bitcoin podcast were probably even pro-Trump themselves, because
I think June Ursa was.
You think she was pro-Trump?
Yeah, it seemed like it, based on her post.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's hard. I think a lot of people were just really embarrassed after Kamala went on that SNL. I think like anybody that was pro her before that was probably anti her after that. They were just like, wow, this is just like garbage. Like, you know, people have this standard that they've been used to. They're used to Bitcoin podcasts. They're used to High Signal. And then they go and they wade into like TV and they just are baffled by the lack of signal. It's kind of like you're in the oasis and you walk back in the desert and you're like, why the fuck am I back in the desert? This is stupid. I'm going back to the oasis.
Right, right.
Yeah, anyways, thanks for the boost we all eat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll read the next three because two of them don't have comments. There's like, it looks like it's Arabic or something. I forgot. I translated it one time. I don't know how to pronounce this or what to say. 5,000 sats, appreciate it. FOMO Metronic, 1,001 sats, appreciate that. Looks like they've got a cactus for a profile picture. What type of cactus? Is that a San Pedro cactus? I'm on their Nostr page. Yeah, it looks like a San Pedro cactus. Those are pretty cool. Thank you for the boost, FOMO Metronic. Our good friend Rayo, 1,000 sats. Read every Bitcoin book, listen to every Bitcoin podcast, believe nothing unless you can prove it with your own research. William Hooper, that is all. Cheers. It's a very good quote by William Hooper. I don't know if a lot of people know who William Hooper is, but he is a radio broadcaster in the Beagleverse. Very, you know, inspirational, important guy. Was way ahead of Alex Jones.
Interesting. But which people I looked into to get acquainted or just to find out more?
Well, I'm sure we'll be covering William in the future. He did one of the intros for our most recent episode. It might have been the last one, actually. It's one of the selection specials. I think Joe Biden did the very last one, the selection special part one. It was part two because we did a 3-part selection discussion. Now that I remember. But yeah, okay, go check out libertyunderattack.com. Yes. Good friend over there.
Yeah.
Link should be.
The next two are from our buddy Shadrach. 939 sats with the heart and cigarette emoji. And then another 939 sats with FTR. I had age-appropriate union employees set on non-KYC marbles in the playground. Yeah, that's probably my kids.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't know what FTR, so Shadrach is also a credentialed journalist, believe it or not. So there's different terminology, kind of inside lingo that we use from time to time. So FTR stands for the record.
That's correct.
Just a clarification. But yeah, Shadrach has apparently been doing some cool stuff. I think he bought a camper van and is traversing the country doing some journalism. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate the boost. Next one is from Putin the Cereal for 500 sats. And, this got me thinking. The username got me thinking about something. So the New York Times has been up to their antics again, talking about cereal. But it's hot that Lynn Alden's train doesn't stop. I'd hook up to that caboose to ride that train. Choo-choo. Yes, Lynn is very hot. I think she's a BD standard. She's beautiful on a Bitcoin standard, which, you know, not a lot of women can claim, unfortunately, like she can. She's above many of them. But so did you hear what happened to RFK getting fact-checked by the New York Times?
Yeah, the story?
About Fruit Loops. Yeah. So the New York Times is looking retarded. They just keep on showing their cards that it's like they're trying to tell the whole world without explicitly saying it that none of them listen to Bitcoin podcasts and they just listen to their CIA handlers instead. The New York Times is definitely pooing in the cereal. That's what they did this week.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of alcoholism dipped through the day on the job there at this point. The next one is just from Mike Tom doing the regular check-in, 500 stats to make us aware that they are surveilling and for running for content.
Got another 500 stats. Fuck you, PodConf. Appreciate the boost, but fuck you. Got another boost from the Arabic name for 500 sats, and then 100 sats from Pies to Pleb. Checking in, proving the 40 hours a week. It's got a beer, a couple beer bottles clinking, and then a cigarette. But appreciate all the boosts for everybody. I don't know. I think I'm excited for bull market boost. It seems like the Fountain peer-to-peer economy has not figured out that we're in a bull market yet. They haven't been spending stupid amounts of money on podcasts yet. So that's kind of like a lagging indicator. But I imagine in the next few weeks, we're going to be seeing the boost go up pretty dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're excited to unveil our new price prediction, dynamic price prediction model, which is built with AI, and it consumes, releases every hour of Bitcoin podcast each week and uses that signal, that data to predict the price outcome.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of the reason why the peer-to-peer, you know, value for value economy has been in a little bit of slump is because all the Bitcoiners have been working at McDonald's. It's a bear market. They're going to quit their jobs at McDonald's here pretty soon. They're going to be rich. They're going to, you know, really jump on the full-time podcast listening. Train, they're probably going to go get a job at a Bitcoin company and, like, run their company Twitter accounts and just tell, you know, the whole world to have fun staying poor. And, it's, you know, they're going to want to spend money on Fountain Boost. So I'm very excited for that, for everybody to be, we'll all be rich together.
Yeah, Ryan, we're excited to get this underway.
Yeah, wrapping up the show, you got any final thoughts for today?
Not for today. I think stay tuned. It's going to be a wild ride.
I'm so bullish. This time is different, and the world is just finding out for the very first time that Bitcoin's already won, and it is beautiful. And it's going to be dramatic. But yeah. Anyways, thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show this week. And we'll catch you next week on the Beagle Weekly.
Bloody Ben says this time is different. Bitcoin has won, and it is magnificent. Governments are buying, so why aren't you? Don't you want to be rich and cool? Odell is confused and doesn't think Lynn is hot. He's a gay bear who needs to be taught. Staying humble is cool during the bear market, but this is the bull, it's going up like a rocket. The future is bullish because Bitcoin has won. It's been a tough bear market. Get ready for some fun. The future is bullish when Trump shitcoins game theory. If you think
are priced in USDT. That doesn't mean that we will necessarily be free. Wanting wealth and comfort is not a sin. People are tired, they just want to catch a win. The future is bullish, but Trump's Bitcoin's game theory is in progress. Everyone will join. Plebs and podcasters are the vanguard. The world is going to use a Bitcoin standard. Odell lacks faith in good old Dennis Porter. He's arms piling the world, ushering in order. 70% approval, the rating is no small feat. He makes Bitcoin go up with breaking tweets. Remember all the people who were lazy, didn't listen to podcasts and called us crazy. Back then we listened to 40 hours every week, hearing that.